book of 2 Timothy is the last written words that we have from the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy is quite an interesting book. He Imagine for a second, several months ago, Sam had gone through the book of First and Second Peter, and Second Peter are the last written words that we have from the Apostle Peter. In both of those books, in Second Peter and in Second Timothy, we find a strong emphasis on the idea of false teachers and on what we should do about this kind of thing. And what I read here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 14, talks about that idea. And the last address that someone might have, of course, is going to be the most important things you want them to get. This is the main thing that Paul wanted Timothy to get. Second Peter were the last things he wanted to leave with people. We see the last teachings of Jesus in John chapters 13 through 16 and 17, the prayer there. The last teachings of Jesus, well, in the before his crucifixion. He wanted these people to know these things. All three of these individuals had strong things to tell their followers and the people that they were going to leave behind. And so we see in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 14, one of the things that Peter or that Paul had said concerning false teachers. He says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." So, looking at all that, of course, some of the most famous passages that many of us have memorized include verse 15. Be diligent to show yourself approved or to present yourself approved to God. Of course, many of us memorize that in the King James. Study to show thyself approved to God. And so the idea there is to study. And, we talk about studying scriptures a lot in order to guard yourself from all sorts of things. And here we are to guard against the wranglings, against the profane and idle babblings that increase more to more ungodliness. Instead of bickering back and forth about certain things, we need to study and to show ourselves approved. We need to look at the scriptures and to understand what they try to tell us, instead of trying to spread some kind of false teaching, like we see in verse 17. Man, false teaching, it says, spreads like a cancer. It spreads so fast, and it's difficult to contain sometimes. And here we see that there are two people who are like this, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and they taught that the resurrection is already past. Did you know that there are people out there today who believe that the resurrection is already past? And yet, right here, it says that doing so overthrows the faith of some. And so if we try to teach a certain false doctrine, it could overthrow people's faith. It could turn them to wickedness. It could turn them to sin. It could turn them away from God. But what does the Lord say here? They have this seal, verse 19, the Lord knows who are his. And that is a great thing to consider. The Lord knows who is righteous and who is not righteous. The Lord knows who have obeyed the gospel and those who have not. He knows these things. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let us turn away from sin and go toward what is right. And that's what we see. That's some of the last words that Paul is teaching here concerning false teachers, that they can spread like a cancer, that we should avoid foolish and profane and idle babblings, that we should recognize who are his. I mean, if the Lord knows those who are his, maybe we should too, and be able to identify who they are, and so that they can depart from iniquity. A little bit later, of course, in verse 23, again, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Now, does that mean we should have no disputes? Well, I mean, in this life, there's going to be arguments, there's going to be disputes, there's going to be discussions about certain disagreements. But he said, avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. In other words, if we're going to argue or discuss something, we need to do so intelligently and not do so foolishly and not come to blows. You know, in any time we discuss things with people, we need to recognize who the Lord is, and that we are, especially if we're discussing things with fellow Christians, that we belong to him and that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we recognize that, it makes things a lot easier. So that we can treat each other with civility, with love, like we talked about on Sunday, and not just civility, because civility is just being nice to people or not being ugly to them, but with love, showing them much more than just civility, but show them love and kindness, not quarreling, but being gentle, teaching and being patient, you know, and in humility. You know, and it says right here that this is a dispute you might have in verse 25, and humility correcting those who are in opposition. So, of course, that suggests that there is a dispute of some kind. But you have to be able to correct those who are in opposition with something called humility, not be prideful and arrogant about these things. And that's so easy for us to do, especially when we know that we have the right answer. and so we really sometimes need to put ourselves into check to make sure that we are correcting in humility and not being very prideful and arrogant about things. You know, but at the same time, false teachers come up, and we see in chapter 4 that there are plenty of people who are not going to endure a sound doctrine, that they will try to, in fact, in chapter 3, we find that many people try to subvert whole households. We see in chapter 3 and verse 6. But in chapter 4, by then, they'll let them because they won't endure sound doctrine. And there will be people like that. We need to make sure that we are preaching the word. We need to make sure that we are preaching the truth and only accepting that which is true. We need to be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, as we see in chapter 4 and verse 5. We need to make sure that at the end of our lives, we can say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and only then might we be able to claim that crown of righteousness that Paul was able to claim when he passed through the veil, when he passed to the other side, when he died. We see that it is not only for him, that crown of righteousness, but it's also for all those who have loved his appearing. Do you love his appearing? this evening. Boy, I hope you do. I hope so. Because the only way that we can truly love is appearing is if we are among those who are in Christ. If we are among those who love him and who obey his gospel, do his will, not teaching falsely, but teaching only what the scriptures say and doing what his will tells us to do. And what his will tells us to do to be saved, man, we got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We've got to repent of our sins, turning away from our wickedness, not be like Philetus and Hymenaeus, who are overthrowing the faith of some. We need to repent of our evil, of our wickedness, of the things that upset God. We need to confess the name of Christ, and we need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. We find that in plenty of places in the scripture about what we need to do to be saved. And I encourage you to do just that. And if you've already done these things, then please, if you need to make things right with God, you have an opportunity every time that we come together and do this. In just a second, we'll have instructions on the screen on how you can contact us so that you can make things right with us if you are a Christian, or that you can not make things right with us, make things right with God. And if you want to do that and let us know about that, then you can do that by the instructions on the screen. Or if you need to obey the gospel, we can help you with that as well. Please let us know about these things as we sing this song.